listening to a TJSlideways.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you from the Engine Pro Studios in Door, Michigan. Coming off a big Canadian Sprint Car Nationals weekend. So Tommy Googe and I are going to break down the 2018 edition of the Canadian Nationals. And Tommy, it was a really nice weekend. I thought we had a good racing and solid 2 days and awesome weather.
Yeah, I would agree for sure. And the fan reaction has been really good, actually. Just keeping an eye on the social media pages this week for Rush Weekend and on the YouTube comments and on our Facebook Live comments. There's, even though the feature didn't quite go the way we would have liked it to, we had a ton of positive comments about the weekend, and I think the really hardcore Sprint Car fans really enjoyed the event.
All right, so let's get after it. Let's start breaking this down. First of all, let's hit some 5 points here. First one, biggest surprise of the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. Who do you think surprised us the most over those 2 days?
Well, looking back at last year, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but definitely Jonathan Preston was a bit of a surprise to me. Judging from what you tweeted on Saturday, I would guess that you kind of agree with that. But he really did a good job up until that first lap of the feature. Won a heat race after starting fourth in his heat and just looked really solid, like one of the better cars there.
Yeah, that dash performance was what stood out with me with him. I mean, that was impressive to hold off Parker Price Miller to win the pole in that race. And that's why I posted the Google search. If you look back through the Twitter history with his name in it, going like, who is this kid? I've heard the name a couple times, but it didn't really register as anything it should be on my radar. But it was pretty amazing to watch him. Of course, fortunately, the feature did not work out as well as that. I was glad he was able to walk away from that first lap crash. That thing was brutal.
Yeah, that was a wicked crash, and that car was very bent. It landed hard on the nose and did a ton of damage. So, unfortunately for them, that's an expensive night, and there's still a lot of racing left in Central New York for them. So hopefully they can get something together. There's some big shows coming up over the next few weeks for them.
The other one that surprised me the most was actually, again, if you look at past history, it shouldn't be a surprise. But due to the number of starts he made, Dane Nida was really impressive in the Burger Barn car. The Burger Barn team has struggled a little bit at times, it seems like. And Dane's only made a couple of starts this year. And, man, he put that thing in the dash. It was started up in the first couple of rows of the A-Main.
Yeah, he's got a good record at the Nationals and Rush Weekend in general. It's a track that kind of fits his style. He's tried to qualify for all but one of the Nationals, and he's been in the feature for all but two of those. So he's won a heat race before there. So he's definitely one of the guys to keep an eye on whenever he's there. I was surprised he was even there after last year. He kind of indicated he was probably done racing at Rush Weekend.
Yeah, and to me it was more just the fact he hadn't run really at all. He ran one other race, and then he ran the Patriot show that got rained out. So he really had like a start and a half before the Canadian Nationals started. I'm like, wow. I'd even talked to him on Friday. I'm like, you don't mess around when you're going to like come out and just decide to play around a little bit. You're coming to one of the toughest races in the country to come make, and he definitely did it. But another thing with us, maybe on the who didn't live up to expectations a little bit, who did we expect more out of, do you think, out of the Canadian Nationals?
Well, you and I talked, and you mentioned Sam Haferteep, and I think even though he finished in the top on the podium again, Mark Smith, I thought would have been a little bit more in contention. He started ninth rather than getting into the dash, so that kind of hurt him, along with Haferteep. They both had to fall back on their guaranteed row five starting spots that they earned on Friday night. But Mark Smith has been really, really good ever since he started coming to Rush Weekend, and he just doesn't seem to get the luck sometimes going his way. But every year I think he's going to be one of the guys to win, and he's up there, but he's not quite up there yet.
Yeah, Sam, to me, actually was a little prophetic on Friday. He had told me that it was going to be vitally important to start in the first two or three rows of that race. He did not want to have to fall back on that fifth row starting spot because he thought it was going to be too hard to charge back up, and that proved to be true. That format, in case people don't know, it's not just transfer, positions that matter, but there's also passing points involved. And you can transfer and still lose a couple spots and be towards the front of a heat race and still have to start behind a lot of cars. And so even though you're a transfer spot, you can't sit in one. You have to race hard every lap you're on the racetrack.
Yeah, you definitely do. And, Parker Price Miller did what he needed to do. Basically, the most passing points you can get in a heat race, if you're one of the top qualifiers, is to start fourth and finish first. And Hayfatib didn't do that, so he didn't get into the dash because of it. That was a stacked heat race that
he was in.
Chuck Hebing beat him on the last corner, and that was probably the difference between Hayfatib starting in the top six and not starting in the top six.
Yeah, another one that I actually expected more out of, maybe a little bit, and it was more mechanical, was Dylan Westbrook. He started to roll a little bit later in the feature. If he wouldn't have had mechanical problems, it might have been interesting with that late restart. But he kind of got rolling late in that feature, and as good as he goes there, I kind of expected him to be a little more towards the front, but he was kind of in line with Sam trying to go to the front there towards the end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Dylan finished third in that heat race behind Hebing and Hayfatib. So, that was a good heat race. Corey Turner and Jason Barney were in it, and neither of them transferred. So Westbrook finishing third in that race behind Hebing and Hayfatib is probably a second place or first place in most of the other heats.
Yeah, and you look at that, and the way the heats fall, there's a good, 18, 19 cars in a qualifying group. So, it's not necessarily the draw that kind of put that up, but the way everyone qualified, it's staggered. They just kind of all ended up in the same heat race.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, that was the flight one was probably the best one. Westbrook, Zimbardi, Hayfatib, Corey Turner, Steve Poirier was in it. Chuck Hebing, Devin Dobie, Jason Barney.
Brutal.
Those are just some of the top nine in that. So.
I saw that. I just thought, man, that is going to be something. And it was too. So definitely there. But and then on the better side, people that did live up to expectations, for me, obviously the winner, Parker Price Miller, you had to expect driving for the Hills team, and he has a knack for getting around that place, though. Just because you're driving for one of the home teams doesn't mean you're going to be up front. And but he has a way of running the top at that place, even at times when you don't think it should work. He can glide it up there and seems to be able to get around.
Yeah, it's sort of reminiscent of what Hayfatib did back in 2011 when he won the Nationals. He was committed to the top, and of course Daryl Turford is one of the common denominators there. Daryl really believes that the top is the way to go most of the time at Ashwiken. So obviously Parker listens to Daryl, and he's also got Adam West, a longtime Ontario racer, in his corner too. So Adam's sort of crew chiefs whenever Parker comes to Ontario for the Hills team. So he's got a couple guys who've had a lot of laps or a lot of experience around this area to draw from.
And another guy that we had kind of thought surprising too, we were both talking off air, Steve Poirier. I had a moment to talk with Steve, and here's what he had to say after his strong run at the end of the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals.
Steve, what did you do on that last restart to make that final charge?
Yeah, my car was pretty good on short run, and we discussed a bit about Kevin said I tried to run the middle as hard as you could, and I was surprised my car hooked up there. I would not have been okay for five more laps running that pace in middle, but for a short run, said no friend there. I'll take everything I could, and I'm really happy because at some point I thought I was going back.
So the way it ended, you had to be really happy compared, through mid-race. Like you said, just short run. Did you do anything else on the caution, tire pressure, or just add fuel to it?
But maybe our car was getting too high, so putting fuel, we put more fuel that we needed just to keep the car a bit lower in the back. So that really helped us. And I think short run, the way we prepared the tire, we were better on short runs. And middle portion, my lane, I was running the inside lane car where kind of going in my lane, and all I was losing my momentum. So like running in clean air was helping me quite a bit.
Not a win, but a continuation of a great season for you.
Yeah, that's a good season. It's way better. Last year we ended up at Hamilton Hospital, so finishing like we have a good streak of top five finish at the Canadian National. So a second position, not too far from Parker. So that's pretty cool.
All right, congratulations, Steve.
Thank you.
He alluded to a very good point that last year's Nationals, Tommy, for Steve was not the best.
Yeah, Steve had a back injury, a pretty serious back injury on the Friday night, and the night before the Nationals had to go home and spent a long time recuperating over the winter, and I kind of wondered if he might sort of take it easy and not run as many races this year, but he's up in the top five and in the fight for the ESS championship, so obviously his spirit is not dampened at all by that injury. But, I mean, he alluded to having a streak of top fives in the Nationals. He's run 12 of them. He's only finished out of the top five once, and that was a seventh place back in 2008. So, I mean, I don't even think Steve realizes how good his stats are at the Nationals.
Yeah.
He's won three times. He's been on the podium eight times out of 12 starts. So pretty impressive and definitely not a surprise to see him up there. But I think given the level of competition that we see race against him, I mean, you have to regard him as probably one of the best sprint car racers in this area and even outside the area too. I wish more people could see him and see him race in other parts of the country.
Yeah, and that's the one that I've said that to other people too. You hit it right on the head with that. And I'll never forget the first time that Shane Stewart won the Nationals. He had to run Poirier pretty hard to win the Nationals that year. And I'll never forget interviewing him in the pits afterwards. And he goes, yeah, in that 28 car, who is that guy? like, who is that? He just had to run me hard. You know, I had to run really hard to beat him. And I think a lot of people could get that impression. And because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't race for a living. So he doesn't get out as much. He's very busy with business and stuff. But he is definitely a gem up there. And I'd put him in the top three in that area. And like you said, it would be interesting if he had some more track time, even like a Central PA or something, to see what he could do.
Yeah, I mean, he's been down to East Bay and run the 360 races down there in February and run pretty well. But he just doesn't, like you said, he's like most of the drivers in this area, we don't really have any professional racers in the Northeast, like in New York and Ontario and Quebec. And so we don't really get to see these guys as often as I think we would like to against the best of the best that are out there. But Steve and some of the other guys in this area, I would put them up against anybody.
All right, so lasting impression from the 2018 Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. Tommy, when we bring up that date in this race, what's the first thing you're going to think about?
Honestly, in some ways it's a negative, but I'm going to think about all the cautions and crashes that we had in the feature. It was a pretty wild feature. And, first open red that we've ever had at the Nationals. It was definitely different.
For me, I'm going to remember basking in the blazing hot sun for the first time in any of my visits. I know it's been warm and sunny there before at Nationals, usually when I don't show up. But with my presence on the grounds and being able to put on sunscreen at Oshawegon Speedway was amazing. I was hot walking around the pits, never complained once about it because it wasn't raining for once when I showed up. And it's been the running joke, in case you haven't been following us for the past decade or so, that not even at Nationals, every time I go to Oshawegon Speedway, it rains. I mean, Tommy, you'd even have to admit, I have a pretty bad track record with the weather there.
Yeah, you do. We've run a lot of races in the sunshine, and you seem to miss them all.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, part of my packing normally to go to Oshawegon are like winter boots, just to trudge in the mud all weekend. But man, what a beautiful turnout. And they had a pretty good crowd turnout as well, I thought, for the weather. I think it did help a little bit.
We definitely did. And I mean, the size of the grandstands at Oshawegon are kind of make the crowd deceiving. There was a lot of people there. The 50-50 was $6,000, which is pretty significant. And the backstretch grandstands, if you look at those, they were full. And there's probably space for 2,000 people back there. I mean, some of those were crew people and that sort of thing. But we have a lot of fans who like to sit in the pits because sitting in the pits there is just as good as sitting in the front grandstand. We have a concession stand, bathrooms, a nice grandstand back there. So if we got some of those people to sit in the front, I think you would see just exactly how many people were really there.
All right, Tommy, hey, final thoughts to wrap up our 2018 wrap-up edition of the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals in this podcast.
I'm happy that the event could run this year. I mean, we almost didn't do it, as you alluded to in the in your article earlier this week. And next year's number 15. And Clinton and I have already talked about making it way bigger than what it is this year. So we've got a few ideas to work on that. And I'm just happy that it's still an event that people want to go to and the racers want to go to. We get 60 to 70 cars every year and sometimes more. And it's pretty much been the case right from the beginning. We've had great support for the event. So I'm just really glad that we can still do it. It's my favorite event of the whole year.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of the closest thing when I cover a race to a racing vacation I have, because going to Ontario, it's just different. You know, my cell phone doesn't, I could make my cell phone work if I really wanted to, but it doesn't. I don't have to. And it's kind of different. And for me, you know, the whole going to Ontario experience and everything, well, it's not as dramatic as it is coming from like a different state or something. It's kind of like going to Ohio with a border check, really. But
yeah,
it you know, going over there and just seeing something really different. And for me, you know, we have so much good racing around here. It's really the one chance of the year I get to see the cars from Empire Super Sprints and Patriot Sprint Tour and even a lot of the Canadian teams. Any chance I get to really witness them in person all year and interact with those folks. And it's really, even though we've had people like Parker Price Miller and Hayford Tapes and other people win the event, it really is a working man's big sprint car race. I mean, and female. It's the working person's big sprint car race. And it parties and it acts, and even the interactions of the period. The whole feel of it definitely has that vibe to it. And it's one of the coolest things I get to do all year. And that's why we do 2-hour podcasts about it leading into it. And I get asked about it throughout the year. And I, you know, earlier this year, earlier this week, I had posted something on Twitter about why wouldn't you come? And a lot of them I get, you know, it does, when you're from the United States, take a little bit of effort to go there and maybe a little more than maybe just go when you're from this area, maybe going to Indiana or going to Ohio or going to Eldora or Attica or Gas City or even Hobstadt to a degree. But to me, it's worth it. And I'm telling you, I mean, I pound the drum on this all year. It's a bucket list sprint car race that you have to go to at some point.
Yeah, we really appreciate that you have recognized us as putting on a good show, and you're definitely one of the true supporters of the event. And you know, right now with the exchange rate the way it is, you guys have a ton of buying power over here. So
it was a pretty cheap trip.
Really,
I have to
not
admit,
a bad trip for you.
No,
yeah.
No, it was that 70 cents on the dollar was pretty primo all weekend, and it was kind of funny. We'd go out to eat. My dad came with me this time, kind of as a last minute thing, and we'd be going out to eat and be like, oh, that looks really expensive. I said, take 30 cents off every dollar on that, and you can probably.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But and this time we crossed the border in the middle of the night, too, which was a little bit different. It was kind of fun to do, and got through really quick. So I slept till noon, so it's kind of a trade-off, but it was kind of nice to not have to wait in line. So, well, Tommy,
yeah,
it was great to visit with you and the entire crew over at Oshkosh Speedway this past weekend. And man, I'm all ready to do it again. I could do it next week if I really wanted to. I'm that pumped up.
Yeah, well, next year, come and see us. We'll. It sounds like we're going to have the World of Outlaws back, as long as they can find a date that works for everybody. So, and you know, before everything happened in the springtime, the World of Outlaws were going to be here for 2 nights. So definitely another vacation time back in July to come see us. Maybe
you know, I've already been kind of looking at that one because I haven't seen an outlaw show there in person yet. And I think that would be a great weekend, second trip over there. And I've been contemplating that recently. I'd kind of like, yeah, plus you get some different winners over there. I'd kind of like to go see it. So thank you again, Tommy, and I look forward to the Canadian Nationals again next year.
No problem. Talk to you later.
All right. That's going to wrap up our post-race, you know, Canadian Nationals wrap-up edition of the podcast. Don't forget that you can pick up this podcast by subscribing on Apple iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, also on Podbean. Thank you to sponsors All-Star Performance, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis. All those folks make this happen. And also, you can get the podcast right on the website if you go. So for Tommy Gooch and myself, thank you from the Engine Pro Studios here in Durham, Michigan. We'll see you down the road.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.